Today's sermon is entitled Being Good Stewards Toward Children. It's based on Exodus 2, 1 through 10, 1 John 2, 28 through 29, and Matthew 18, 1 through 5. Being good stewards toward children. Good rule for teaching children is never ask a child a question that you yourself can't answer. Well, most parents and probably all teachers are familiar with Claude Piaget's theory on the stages of cognitive development. The gist of the theory is that children think differently as children than they do as adults. Children like definitive answers. They have a hard time with speculation or hypothetical notions. This may explain why so many children stray from the church when they reach adolescence and young adulthood. You teach them all about Noah and the Ark, about the parting of the Red Sea, about Jesus' resurrection and ascension, and they're okay with it until adolescence when they start thinking more critically about and more abstractly. You know, where did Jesus go when he rose into heaven? How exactly did the Red Seas part? How many animals were on the Ark, and how did they all fit? And what about, you know, other countries and nations, and did the flood cover the entirety of the earth? That's when they can explore their faith at a deeper level. But as children, faith is a simple thing. So this last week, we had our Sunday school children answer the question, what does Sunday school mean to you? This was going to be a surprise for me as they shared their testimonies. I saw no one's answer before today. But if they had said they learned a lot of history about Jesus and Abraham and Moses and Noah, that was fine. The thing I learned from Sunday school were just those sorts of things. Jesus died on the cross because we were bad, and he rose from the grave on Easter. And though I wasn't clear why I thought it meant that people who died wouldn't be dead forever, I learned about heaven. That was the concrete learning. And with the onset of adolescence, I began to question all the history, all those stories. I think I was told that it was bad to not believe these stories, and that just gave me a headache that lasted for years. I was told that heaven was for people who did good things, and that made my headache even worse because I wasn't always doing good things. I got some comfort from seeing people who were very churchy, who misbehaved and were bad, because I figured if they had a chance of going to heaven, so did I. But so much of what I learned, I came to question. And though I wasn't angry with my Sunday school teachers, I felt deprived in a way. I was told to believe in things that were just hard for me to believe. I was wondering if they were telling me just a pack of lies. Now, I realize now that it was really my own fault. That's also something that we learn much better after childhood. How to take responsibility for our own thoughts and actions. I had chosen to leave the church, and so I had few people around me who could satisfactorily answer all my deep questions regarding the Bible, about faith, and about God, although there were some people who answered them in a very simplistic way that I just could not digest. But it would be a long time before faith took root in me. And once it did, I could go back to all those stories that I learned in Sunday school about Noah and Abraham and Moses and Jesus, and I could read them with new eyes and understand them in new ways. This is where it's appropriate that I urge your stewardship with regard to our youth. We need to have people in place in the church who can help adolescents navigate from doubt and this comes naturally as we develop. We have a great team of Sunday school teachers now who are doing just that. But we need to be vigilant, especially when it's so easy for teens to go out and get their hands on cheap, toxic drugs that have killed over 70 youth on the island this year. Let's talk visioning for a minute. We strive to be a radically welcoming congregation, open to everyone. But that's really not enough. We need to be an outwardly focused congregation that intervenes and injects a drug called love into the veins of our youth. Opening our doors is not enough. We need to step out of those doors and onto the mean streets. We need to go where the need is so obvious. Which brings me back to the question about Sunday school. It's not what did you learn in Sunday school, but rather what does Sunday school mean to you? And that's a lot different, isn't it? What does Sunday school mean to you? Or in the case of us grown-ups, what did Sunday school mean to you? To me, it meant nothing bad, and that was good. You know, my family moved around a lot when I was a kid, and so I didn't stay in the same church for more than a few years at a time. And I don't remember many of my Sunday school classmates or teachers, but I remember that nothing bad happened. No fighting, no mean looks, no teasing, no bullying. I don't imagine that I ever threw a tantrum or had anxiety attacks about going to Sunday school. So what it meant to me was something good. And even though that is all that I can really remember, that's important because the positive experience I had may have actually saved my life. When I was a lost soul wandering in the wilderness, vulnerable to all the deadly addictions and temptations of this world, I felt comfortable enough with the church to come back to it. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me." Every Sunday school teacher in every church I ever attended welcomed me in Jesus' name. And after I had grown up, the church still welcomed me in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, that's important. What does it mean when someone says, "I welcome you in Jesus' name"? Well, it means I am a representative of Jesus Christ, and I'm letting you know that you are welcome here. The church is only as strong as the Spirit of Christ that dwells in the people of the church, and everyone who has Jesus living in their heart can say, "I welcome you in Jesus' name," in all sincerity. And if you don't just say it, you also live it. You live that welcome. Love is measured in actions more than it is in words. Love is measured in all the work that teachers do to prepare for Sunday school classes, in the time and energy they spend teaching their children's songs and stories and skits, in the work they do preparing crafts, in the tears they wipe away, in the patience they exhibit when a child is losing their attention or going in the wrong direction, in the time they decide spending in which books and materials are best for their students, in the time they spend learning what they never learned before so that they're better prepared to answer questions posed by their students. And of course, Sunday school is about more than the teachers. It's about the whole church, because you serve to support the teachers through your prayers, through your encouragement, through your offerings, through all the things you do in love, in Jesus' name.